time for the Garden Conversation, which is underwritten by Jewel Gardens in Skagway in loving memory of Charlotte Jewel and her vision for the gardens as a community space for peace, inspiration, and education.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mardell. And we also have Erica.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we've got a few things to talk about today. The one thing that I want to make sure that we really talk about a little bit more in depth than we have is the fermentation workshop. It's coming up. It is Saturday.
Saturday,
12:30.
3:30?
Yep. And I'm getting calls asking, can I still come even though I'm not registered? And yes, you can. But this is the deal. So it's $35 to come, and probably there will be enough veggies to do the hands-on part of it, but we cannot guarantee, if you haven't pre-registered, we cannot guarantee that there's going to be enough vegetables for you to do that. But we're going to try, and we over-ordered, so we think that they probably will be. So how the workshop's going to work is that the first, I'll say half, is going to be lecture and talk. And I talked to somebody who was just at the workshop in Juneau yesterday, I think it was, and they said that Sander talked for 2 hours and there was so much information that he could have gone on all day. And so this guy is full of information, and they said it was very interesting. So
yeah, he is the fermenter.
He is. And so I think that's something really important for people to recognize. We're talking about making sauerkraut, but it's not the only reason that we're making sauerkraut at this workshop is because it's easy. So this is not a cooking class where somebody's going to learn just to make sauerkraut. He is going to be talking about fermentation, everything from beer to he ferments meats. I mean, he ferments just about everything, doesn't he? I mean,
berries.
Yeah. And that's something that people have asked, what about the stuff that I have in the freezer, like berries and stuff like that? And so that sort of thing can be fermented.
I wonder what that would taste like.
Oh, it's fine. You take stuff. I just did some rhubarb that I took out of last year's rhubarb, and I made a soda out of it. So anyway, I just want to emphasize that to people that this workshop is not really about making sauerkraut only. It is, this guy will answer all your questions and inspire you to do fermentation of all sorts. So that being said, if you don't have time or can't come to the workshop, there's a couple of other opportunities. And one is the foraging walk. The foraging walk is free, and we encourage anybody to come. It's going to be at 4:30 at the Chilkat Park. And we're going to go out and we're going to try to...
That's on Friday?
That's on Friday, the 13th. And that's tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah.
and so then that's at the park. And then we're going to end up at the park shelter where there's going to be a potluck. And this is just going to be an informal time. You know, we said bring ferments. Do not feel like you have to bring a ferment.
Right.
We said bring ferments. If you have some and you want to share, bring them. But don't not come because you don't have any.
You can bring store-bought ferments,
too? You can. That's right. Or you can bring something out of your garden, or you can bring anything.
Okay.
And it's just going to be an informal time. I think these guys are really personable guys, and I think that we're going to have a great time just hanging out with them.
Because Sandor's bringing his partner with him?
Bring his partner. And so that is on Friday. And then Saturday is a workshop. And then for you out the roaders that are listening, we are having a potluck lunch. Sandor is going to be out the road that day. And so we want to provide a place for him to have lunch and not have to drive back into town. And so we decided to make it another time that people can hang out with him. And that's going to be at your place, Erica's
that's right.
place.
Yep. So I live on Chilkat Lake Road. And I'm the first driveway on the left after the clear cut. And lunch is going to be
11:45. Yeah. And so it's certainly open to anybody, but we're especially encouraging out the roaders to come. You don't have to drive so far into town.
Right.
So, okay, so that's 11:45 tomorrow?
No, that Saturday. This one is Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah. So 4:30 at the park for foraging, 6 o'clock for the potluck on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Then Saturday is 12:30 for the workshop.
That's when it starts, and pre-registration begins.
If you haven't registered, come a little bit early so we can get you signed up and whatnot.
And that's going to be
at the A&B Hall. Thank you, Erica. Yeah, it's going to be at the A&B Hall. And then Sunday is what we were talking talking about. That is going to be just a low-key potluck at Erica's for lunch at 11:45.
Yep.
And then they're flying on to Gustavus for the next workshop. They're doing a whole tour of Southeast Alaska, and it's great fun. Yeah. So let's see. Anything else I wanted to say about that? If you want to get ahead, his books are available. Right now they're available at the Babbling Book and also the Second Nature here in town. Mm-hmm. If you want to get a book ahead, and it's amazing, you will be inspired for sure by looking at his books.
And you can have him sign it.
And then you can have him sign your book. But I also want to say that there's going to be books available at the workshop.
Okay.
And so you can buy books there too. And our prices are going to be about the same as Amazon. So
good. That's great.
So, let's see. I think that is about it for the ferment. So now we can.
Do you want to add what we are to bring to the ferment?
Oh, thank you, Joni. Yes. Okay. So what you need to bring to the fermenting workshop is you need to bring a cutting board. You need to bring a knife. If you are a person who doesn't like to use a knife but would rather use like a mandolin or a grater or something like that, bring that. And bring a bowl. If you have a really big bowl, bring that, because what Sander likes to do is like put 4 to 6 people together, and you put all your vegetables together and you mix it up in a big bowl. Uh-huh. And so you can choose to do that or do your own little personal ferment. But so bring a bowl. And if you have any extra spices that you like to use in a ferment, or you think you might like to use in a ferment, or you just have these spices that you don't want to use, bring them. And we're going to just have a table that people can go to and get some ginger and garlic or spices.
And the salt for the fermentation,
and
that
we're,
will be provided?
We're providing the salt and about pound and a half to 2 pounds of vegetables is what he says makes a quart of sauerkraut.
Okay, so we don't bring our own veggies.
If you want to, you can bring additional vegetables. But you will, when you walk in the door, you will be given cabbage and carrots. And then we're going to have a few, like we're going to have some garlic and some ginger and some stuff like that can be added.
I saw turmeric the other day. I had a...
Really?
Yeah.
So yeah, we might have some of that too. So, that's what you need to bring. Make sure you bring the cutting board, the knife, and your own jar. Bring a quart jar. And ideally, my recommendation is a jar that has a wide lid.
Right.
Because you can do it in a narrow lidded, but it's just harder to get it out and whatnot. So.
You know, I totally spaced all this out, but I knew that you would remind me 2 days before the event.
Uh-oh, so, and now Joni's reminded me to say it. No, that's really important to do, remind everybody to bring that. So, okay. So
all right.
I think I'm really excited. It's finally happening. This has actually been about 2 years in the making that we have been working on getting this to happen. So it's here almost. So what are you doing in your garden right now, Erica?
Well, lately I've been doing a lot of watering. That's for sure. And I've noticed a few things that I guess probably because of the cold spell that we had in the beginning of the season.
Last year, you mean?
Or
the cold spell this spring?
This spring. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it a cold spell? Wasn't it just like totally
cold? It was cold. And I had really poor germination with my beans.
Mm-hmm.
And I replanted. And now I do have beans that look very healthy, but
they're just slow.
Very slow. Yeah. And I just don't anticipate I'm going to even get a crop out of them. Mm-hmm.
It's been an interesting year for me because I find that some things are very slow and then other things are not. For example, just yesterday I was trying to figure out, I have always had my broccoli well into producing, sometimes almost over by the time my cauliflower is going strong.
Right.
I have cauliflower this year almost before my broccoli. And it's just kind of strange. I don't quite understand why that is. But there's been a bunch of that kind of stuff. Like my dahlias are blooming now, which is about right time, a little bit early. But then there's other stuff that is just way slow.
Right.
I think some of it, especially in the perennials and maybe the garlic and that sort of stuff, it's because it had a hard winter. And
right.
So the plants are trying to catch up. Yeah.
Right. And I'm noticing like delphiniums that were huge, that have been huge in the past, have had.
Are little.
Major loss.
Are your lilies? Do you have lilies?
And I do have lilies. They're not blooming. And they, again, they're not nearly as tall as usual.
My lilies that are against a building are normal height, but the ones that are not. My lilies are like a foot off the ground. Usually they're 3 or 4 feet tall.
Right. So yeah, mine look great.
They do.
Yeah. Mine are normal.
Are they next to a building?
No.
They're
actually
not?
They're not.
Okay. Yeah. It's just been very interesting for me to observe, and I can't always figure out what's going on, but certainly I think some of it is the winter.
Right, and that's
a tough
what I
winter.
Think might be the case with my garlic, though I do have a friend whose garlic looks amazing, but my garlic has been stunted, and even, like, there's maybe 30% that are producing scapes right now, and the rest
are not,
and not even really growing very well, so I don't know if it was because of the tough winter, cold temperatures.
I did lose some of my garlic to winter. Most of it is fine, but some of it just froze out because it was just too cold for it. Anything in a raised bed, again, that's part of the issue is the in a raised bed. I have learned, and you have a winter like we just had, the cold comes in from the side, and it. In the middle of the bed is usually okay, but all around the perimeter on the outside of those raised beds, they will freeze solid.
You had a problem with that. With didn't you use
lost
a skiff?
Exactly. And I lost all my asparagus that way. I lost all my garlic 1 year because of that. So I've had to learn my lesson the hard way of if you want to keep things from freezing, plant them in the ground, not in. And I'm talking raised beds, not necessarily beds that are in the ground, just raised up, but. Like I use boats. I use literally things that are really above the ground.
Right.
They freeze more. So, so root maggots, have you had a problem with root maggots this year?
You know, I have a problem with root maggots, it seems, every year.
That's because you don't cover, isn't it?
Well, you know, okay, I have a story about that too. So I did in the past cover, right? But I think that I just covered it a little bit too late. And so it wound up being the perfect breeding.
Oh yes, I've had that happen
situation
too.
And so when I pulled it off,
you have more flies under your cover than
they really appreciated the extra warmth. So I don't do that anymore, and I, you know, I know you put a lot of extra effort into that, and my attitude is, well,
if I lose it I lose it
and I and inevitably every year I do. This year, you know, I might have 40 different brassicas and have lost maybe 3 or 4.
Oh, that's not bad
average. So it's a 10% loss. So I just try to overplant too.
And you know, that's part of gardening is, you know, sometimes I go out and I kind of get depressed. It's like, oh, I've lost a plant or two. And it's like, hey, that is part of gardening. It's, and if you're going to get depressed every time you lose a plant, well, you're going to walk around being depressed. So it's just part of.
It's inevitable.
It
and that's kind of what I, that's sort of my attitude. Otherwise, you know, I mean, you can put a lot of time and effort into covering it and uncovering it and all those things. And I just kind of, well, you know, one thing I try to do is create really strong soil, too.
That's really important.
So I put compost out in all of my beds this year. So I think that really does help. You know, once it seems like once your plants get over a certain stage of growth, they've kind of won the battle.
Oh, it's true. Yeah, that's right. You don't have to worry about certain things. Well, root maggots even. If they get past a certain stage, they can withstand that. You know, let me tell you one of the things that I'm learning this year. It's my first time of recognizing what's happening is I have a, my dome is got very high nitrogen. And I'm learning the difference between legginess in a plant, which gets really tall and reaching for the sun, versus I have huge plants. But it's not leggy. They're really tall, but they're strong plants because of the excess nitrogen. So a new lesson for me this year to see the difference between that. And but I got great fruiting. So it's not following the book saying that you too much nitrogen means that you don't have good fruits. But so far that's good. So Anyway, so that's Joni's telling us that we got to stop talking. And so once again, we will stop talking for another week, week. About gardening. Actually, we're going to be talking, I'm sure, at the fermenting workshop a little bit about gardening for those of us who have gardens. It's how can we use all of this stuff for fermenting. So we'll see many of you, hopefully, at the workshop.
Okay, and tomorrow is the...
And tomorrow at 4:30, come out to the Chilkat State Park. And if you don't want to do the foraging walk, come out at 6 and bring a potluck dish. Bring your ferments if you want to share them. We're going to have some wine, and it's just going to be
it's
an informal time.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. Wine is definitely fermented.
Go.
And so is beer. You can bring beer with it. It's
definitely.
A ferment.
It's all healthy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Joni.
Always interesting.